Well, a big thank you to Lily Haight for the community calendar here on KPTZ 91.9 FM in Port Townsend. We are now on our weekly broadcast, Brewocracy Now, with Port Townsend City Manager John Morrow and special guest today, Steve King, the Director of Public Works. So we will get going as quickly as possible. I know there will be questions, and you can always send them to me at tim@kptz.org via email if you'd like me to ask a question for you. I do have a few questions that hopefully I will get to at the end of the broadcast that have been previously set up. But right now, I would just like to welcome John Morrow from high above City Hall. Hi, John.
Tim, it's always a pleasure. Great to see you again.
Great to see you. This is all about public works. The Discovery Road project, something that's close to my heart. And I'm glad to see that you have Mr. King here with us today.
Yes.
That is the right person to ask the questions of on anything having to do with public works. And it's all yours, John.
Hey, thanks, Tim. And I'm really excited to have Steve with us here today. He's I think, the fourth special guest, as we're trying to reorient a little bit of this broadcast and our time with you, Tim, to tick through some of the projects and engage PT, which is, the 10 areas where City Council need to make decisions in the next year. And we've started engaging on things like the library strategic plan, where Melody was with us a few weeks ago, also with the golf course, where Alex was with us, and with public safety and law enforcement, with Troy Serber with us last week. So Steve is the public works director, and not just guiding this project, but a whole host of things. And you'll get used to seeing Steve as part of this broadcast, because there's a number of projects under his leadership that are going to be in the decision makers court this coming year. The first one really being Discovery Road. And so, Tim, I know how lovely it is to talk about something called Discovery Road, because that's how we first met. I got to come in on your Discovery Road show, and this spun off of it. So I won't take too much time orienting us here, except to say that it's a pretty exciting day, because we've got a great new information piece out that Steve can talk to, and some real great ways of getting engaged, not just here on the radio calling in today or emailing, but also over the long term as this project takes shape. So I'm going to dish it off to Steve for his first debut, I think, on KPTZ, and certainly not his last. Hi, Steve.
Hi, thanks, John. Thanks, Tim. Very much appreciate the opportunity to share what we have going on with Discovery Road. And but before I start, I want to introduce some other familiar names that folks might know, and that's the city engineer, Dave Peterson, who's instrumental on this team, and our project engineer, Laura Parsons. So it's not just just me, it's a whole team of folks that are working on this project. And we have a good consulting team on board to help us out as well. SCJ Alliance. So we're ready to go out formally and engage and get feedback on the project. We just put together a what we call a story map, which is a nice website way of walking through the project. And what you do is you just scroll down the website, and you're able to just chronologically or in order go through the elements of the project. And the intent of this story map or this information is just to provide the scope and the considerations that are behind this project before we really get into heavy design work, and to tee it up so that we get good public feedback before we make any design decisions. And so the area that we're talking about is between the Rainier Roundabout and Salish Elementary. So it's that section of Discovery Road. And, some things I've learned in my short time being in Port Townsend is Discovery Road's really a critical corridor to the city. And what really registered in my mind is it's kind of the bleed off valve for Sims Way or SR20 coming into town. And so as I understand in the past, there's been desires for more lanes on SR20 coming into town, and Discovery Road really helps us from a traffic standpoint with not having to go hog wild on SR20 coming into town. So that presents a whole host of issues if you're a bicyclist or a pedestrian. That's not, you know, generally we try to keep cars and bikes and peds separated. And so it's also recognized as an important corridor for bikes and peds or non-motorized traffic. So that's kind of the tee up of the why the project. And we did receive a little bit of grant funding here a couple years ago that gets us partway there. We have another grant application pending that would get us a lot further down the road to getting a complete project. So we're hopeful that, and we'll know about that just before Thanksgiving. But we do have about little over $2 million slated for the project at this point in time. And if we get this other grant, it'll bring in another $2.5 million for the project.
So just broadly, in broad strokes, what does this project entail? Is it a widening? Is it burying utilities? Is it sidewalks? I know that you're still at the beginning stages of this, but what can people look forward to?
Yeah, great question. So at a minimum, given the funding that we have today, and this may change in November, but given the funding that we have today, we have enough funds to get a sidewalk and or bike pedestrian trail combination thereof, and that's what we're trying to figure out, on one side of the road without doing any real road work. Now the pavement's pretty rough on Discovery Road as well, but the funding that we have today does not get us into the actual road itself. And so we anticipate that we would get some sort of bike and pedestrian facility on one side of the road to connect between Salish School and the Rainier Roundabout.
Well, as John had said previously last week, city funding is up in the air. It's not likely that there'll be more than there was last year. I'm guessing at that. I don't know. I thought that was a pretty fair statement to put out on the air. You're right. Discovery Road is, I think there's like really two ways onto this peninsula, and it's one of them. It's 50% of them. Do you have any plans for the future going further down towards Mill Street, or is that just too far away?
A little bit of both. Plans, yes. Funding, no. And a whole lot of other funding needs in the street system throughout the city. Historically, Discovery Road has been a priority project for the city for quite some time. And so, I don't see that priority completely shifting away, but there is so many needs. And maybe in a subsequent program, we'll talk more about the other street needs in the community. So yes, it's in the plans. Funding is probably a little ways off because that's a fairly expensive section of road to build.
Tim, can I just use this opportunity also to remind anybody listening, because we truly do want to hear from folks about how to crack this nut. And I think I give the team a lot of credit for landing some serious outside dollars. That's how we're able to invest capital in projects like these, because the city can't carry that ourselves. And so state and federal funding is absolutely essential. I think it's fantastic the team was able to secure a grant, and I know really trying hard to get this other one to really make the project full and total, including the roadway improvement. But for those who have an opinion about this, you can go to cityofpt.us/engagept, and it'll show up there along the Discovery Road project. And this new survey and story map is something that just appeared on our site. And it's quite extensive. It really tells a great story and with lots of great information about, what the project entails, the details. It has maps, it has pictures. And then at the end, there's a survey that anybody can take that'll take you maybe, you could stroll through the site for probably 20, 30 minutes, but the survey itself really takes about five. So I highly encourage everybody listening to go and check that out.
Yeah, and then also encourage, share it out with everybody, we're really trying to get a diverse cross-section of users of Discovery Road or folks with interest in Discovery Road. So we're really encouraging sharing it out through the schools, through the neighborhoods, you know, recreational organizations, any group that you know, we would love to have folks share this out.
I noticed this morning in my email from my school district that it was shared out via them. So I, you know, big hat tip to Port Townsend School District for getting the word out there. You know, I could say as a parent of a child at Salish Coast, you know, that's one of the lenses on this is how to create safe travel ways for kids and parents who live in the area or coming into the some of the existing facilities right there. And I think it also points to something, and I can't help but mention, I used to be a bike ped focus staffer at the Cascade Bicycle Club a while back. And we talked quite a bit about the different user profiles of, you know, people who ride bicycles. And, you know, it's not just the fast ones who are on racing bikes, and it's not just the ones who are moving at a slow pace. That's everybody. And I think that's the challenge here is that, you know, we need to be designing for an inclusive and all-encompassing approach to make sure anybody who wants to feels comfortable and safe being on a bicycle or being a pedestrian in our town. That's something we truly believe in.
Do you have questions from the audience, or shall we just continue on?
I'll ask to see if, Carol, do you have any questions for us here? Or Tim, I don't know if you have anything queued up.
I just took a quick look at the, you know, the front page of the Discovery Road brochure that's in Engage PT. And I guess it's going to be on one side of the road, right? So is that a two-way bicycle track? In which case it doesn't show on the front page of that brochure. Is it both ways?
It's a good question, Carol. So the grant application that secured the funding that we have now from a couple years ago did show it on one side only. There are different ways to do that. And so the grant application showed it as a two-way path next to a sidewalk, but that decision is not made.
Oh.
So it all depends on the design process and the hearing from the public and the users, as John described, before we make that final decision. That said, part of the information that's on the website, it really lays out some of the constraints. It's not like we're in a flat field building whatever we want from scratch. We have to kind of deal with what we have with the funding that we have. So yeah, there's a big balancing act for what can we build, what's safe, what serves the most number of people and is inclusive, and how does it all fit? It's a challenging design. It's fun. This is what engineers love to do.
Yeah, and I know that you know how to do that. And I'm just one quick other question is the metrics and how you assess usage and actual usage. The road sort of scares me to death. And how you potential usage. I mean, how do you go about getting those kinds of metrics before the design process kicks in?
Yeah, great question. Part of it is knowing what we have today, and we know that we have our traffic counts. We can see the trails of people walking alongside the, you know, you see these bikes riding Discovery Road. We know it's a treacherous situation now. It's not a great option. So one of the things that's the big challenge is when you do build it, people change their travel patterns.
Yeah.
And things will change. And part of that depends on what's developed up in the Rainier Corridor. What kind of housing, what kind of businesses, what are the who's attracted to those locations. Part of it depends on how we continue to develop our trail system. So we know we have a path up Rainier that goes towards the water treatment facility, and we have future connections that go down to Larry Scott Trail. So there's a lot of the whole network. And so we have to try to blend all of those things together along with the public input that we know here and now that has interest in it, to try to think about 20 years in the future, because we won't be doing work in this corridor for another 20 years, likely, given the lack of funding.
I think it's a good question, Carol, too, because I like to sort of say somewhat cheekily, you know, the number of users across the Hood Canal Bridge before it was built was precisely zero, you know, but clearly there's a desire to cross there by that means and by other means. And so it's really hard to predict. But, you know, there's kind of a common theme here where, you know, if you build it, they will come, you know, especially if you build it well and inclusively. And I think Steve's key word he just used is network. And that's the approach we're thinking is, you know, you can do disconnected segments of excellent trail or road or bike facilities or sidewalk, but as soon as it's disrupted, the whole system doesn't work. And if we can actually piece it together and make it connect up, then it becomes almost instantaneously desirable to say, oh, I can get from A to B without actually putting myself at risk on a section of unsafe roadway.
Well, it's still, it's really great when you get to that traffic circle there between the water plant and Rainier development. And that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
They're just, you know, and the segment is short there.
Yeah. Yeah. I wrote it this morning actually with my child. So I'm aware of some beauty of what exists and also some vulnerability where it ends. And that's precisely why we want to have this conversation with everybody in the community about what they would like to see.
Well, I think for a public meeting, people will come, and I'm sort of surprised that there aren't 50 people in the room right now.
We'll gin up some interest. I want to make sure that Tim can do the ID on this broadcast and get any questions in. You got, Tim?
Well, yes, this is KPTZ in Port Townsend. This is Brewerocracy Now today with John Morrow, Port Townsend City Manager, and Steve King, Director of Public Works, who evidently this is his idea of fun, digging up roads. And I'm glad to hear that because Port Townsend, as I'm sure you already know, public works projects are sometimes controversial, more than other places that I have lived anyway, and I haven't lived all over the world, but roundabouts, that went for a while. And I don't want to leave the subject of Discovery Road, but it came to my attention via the leader today that we're talking about a temporary roundabout on Washington Street. Could you tell us a little bit about that?
Oh, I would love to. I was out this morning with my orange vest on helping the guys lay out traffic cones. And it was again, great fun. So on Washington Street, this gets back into, you know, our bigger street system for the entire city. So we are putting in a couple of what they're called just mini traffic circles. They're not full roundabouts, but they're mini traffic circles designed to slow cars down. So Washington Street is a very important arterial street. It carries a lot of cars to the courthouse, to downtown, to the post office. And that's just the reality of where it's at and how our street network works. However, we really want to see the car slow down because it is traveling through a residential area. And so what we're doing is we've worked with the neighborhood up there and come up with a demonstration. We're going to try a 60-day demonstration where we'll install some temporary traffic circles and some cones and some temporary paint. And we're going to monitor. We'll put out our speed counters and we'll see if it works. And we'll get feedback. And so we're hopeful we get feedback, you know, across the board, because if it's successful, it may be a model for other traffic calming efforts throughout the city. And I got to share that this traffic calming is one of the number one phone calls I get. Doesn't matter what road you're on, you know, people want to have slower speeds in an urban environment, which is totally understandable.
Could I also shout out Tim to just the way that this has come about, and Steve's one of the more humble people that I know. You know, the amount of conversation that Steve and Dave Peterson had with the community, and the community really stepping up, the residents along that street corridor, to really have a very productive conversation about solutions, realizing that there's a host of things that are not possible. You know, much like Discovery Road, we might not really be able to control the volume on a street like that. But we can focus on speed together. And in fact, there are some interventions that could work. And it's just been a really great thing to watch, you know, the public works team engage in such a collaborative and open-minded way with the community, and for the community to step right into that and be part of the process.
And I know that none of this happens out of thin air. One issue that that was included in the Leader article was the thought that perhaps traffic is kind of like water, and if it becomes more difficult to go down Washington Street, it might go elsewhere. Any thoughts about that, or how will you be measuring that as we go forward?
Yeah, great question, and that's a very astute assessment. You know, that's what happens. And so what we don't want to do is push this into another neighborhood or cause one unintended consequence of trying to solve a problem. And that's why I appreciate John's point about the traffic volumes. You know, we don't expect the volumes to change, but we do hope to slow cars down. So yes, part of the demonstration period is to assess, are cars diverting? You know, like I said, well, we have our counter out last week, a traffic speed and volume counter, and we'll put it out again after they go in, and we'll see what the differences are, as well as just spend some time observing as well. The neighbors will be sure to know, you know, they'll see any changes, and we'll get that feedback as well.
And if traffic is like water, maybe traffic will divert to water, and that might be a benefit to this as well.
It was fun to this morning. So we had the cones out, and so we were getting the first look at how cars were behaving. And we stood on the side of the road and watched it a little bit. And it was pretty cool to see the cars slow down. Now those were traffic cones, and they were only there for the day. So there's an immediate response. What we're looking for is a sustained response. And that's why we want a 60-day trial period.
Well, Steve King, Director of Public Works, I'm glad this is your idea of fun. Just to throw this out there very quickly, the last time I had fun watching a public works project here in Port Townsend was the work there by Salish, putting in the little bit of traffic calming and crossworks there. And the flag man stopped me. I was first in line, and I watched a mouse come from the right, get on his shoe, and I watched it go all the way up his pants. And come out the other leg, and he. I'm not sure that he even knew it, but I laughed all the way to the station. I was on my way here. Just had to throw it in. That was my idea of fun. I'm glad yours is a little more serious.
I've not had that experience.
I both wish that never happens again, and that we invite you to something considered fun in your book in terms of a public works project this year, because we've got a lot going on. Hopefully, no mice in the mix.
Well, John, since we are trying to replicate what would happen if you were sitting at Sunrise Coffee and the public were asking you questions, I'm going to do a little bit of that now.
Sure.
Simply because I have received a few emails, and they are, and I know that we have spoken to this in the past in depth, but it is an issue obviously on people's mind, and that is the golf course. And I'm going to make this very quick. One is ask for something of an update of where we're at with that. And also to kind of boil down some of the questions, one from Mike K, which says that Engaged PT only asks one question if folks play golf. And he is of the impression that the survey is skewed towards alternative uses, perhaps affordable housing. That's one question. And another is from a listener that thinks that it would be more appropriate for us to promote the aspects of keeping the golf course, collaborating with restaurants, Chamber of Commerce to give discounts to visitors. She obviously is a fan of the golf course as it is, and I'll just leave it at that and see what you think.
Well, it's news to me. We've got a golf course in town. This is I'm on the back foot on this one. It's just never come up, right, Tim?
Yes, I know. This is new. This is new.
No, I mean, I guess as I've said before, what I really enjoy about this, aside from, you know, trying to kind of set the facts straight, which has been really the biggest hurdle here, which I revert people back to Engage PT and the sort of the de facto two-pager on what's really what. But aside from that, I mean, I just love the passion that's come out from the community on this. No matter where you stand, people stand somewhere. And I think that's our job as a city to set the table to say, look, our job as a community to make decisions together. And so the city doesn't have any particular interest or direction we want to go. We just want to have the conversation. So we also recognize it's been really challenging under COVID to do what we would normally do. You know, imagine the PROS plan where we had 70 people in the Cotton Building. I was lucky enough to see that right when I started. You know, hundreds and hundreds of people taking the survey. So, you know, we're a little hamstrung in our ability to have that same sort of engagement opportunity. But I have to give it off to Alex Wisniewski. He has been incredible, including yesterday hosting a Zoom call with over 60 people where, you know, people from all different perspectives were having a very civil conversation, just like what we did a couple weeks ago, Tim, where some people were very clearly on one side and the other. And, you know, I guess there's more than just two sides on this one. And to me, that makes me really proud of this community. It makes me think we can have a discussion. We can kind of come to a common set of facts and at least debate those facts and kind of put to rest some of the falsehoods that have been circulating. I think, you know, in some ways, possibly intentionally, kind of cloud the clear picture here. But let me be clear. You know, we've got two things happening at once. One thing just ended, and that was a request for proposals specifically for operation of the golf course. And I have not looked at said proposals. I think the deadline was literally yesterday, but I know we've gotten a few. And so our team will now look at those requests for proposals seriously to see if how well it matches up to what we've asked for and evaluate them. And that will be coming to a city council workshop. At the same time, as we say, you know, what would it be like to operate a golf course and frankly deal with some of the capital investment and challenges the city's had over time? What else? What could be? And so I think I think it was Mark you said, point, I mean, that survey is in fact about alternative use of the golf course. So absolutely it's biased specifically to ask that question, not whether or not we should operate it like a golf course, but actually if we didn't, what would it be used for? And again, no hidden agendas here. We some people have brought up the issue of affordable housing. That's not one the city's put on the table. Some people have brought up the issue of recreational facilities. I mean, look, we take a straight as an narrow approach here. What are the opportunities? And this is first touch. You know, we're not looking for a full proposal to develop it as alternative recreation use or frisbee golf or affordable housing. We're not there yet. We're just trying to start the conversation, you know, of what could this be and where are we as a community in that process. The next step will be at City Council workshop to take both of those things and report back and give a very clear sense to the community of where we're at, what we've learned from each of those processes. And I highly encourage those who have an interest here in both listening to that report back and also participating as you can through the City Council process.
Well, thank you for that update, John. Now, as I said, you know, I do take these questions by email, and often they're not quite as concise, and I apologize to listeners if I'm not encapsulating what you really are asking, but sometimes it's hard when the questions are not, you know, one or two sentences. I do what I can here, but we have 3 minutes left on this broadcast, and we are with Steve King, the Director of Public Works on Brewocracy. Now I know, John, you may have a question to end this up, but I'm going to end. This is the City of Dreams. I like to put a question out there to your folks. If you had, I would say unlimited resources, but more resources as you drive around Port Townsend and you look at infrastructure, what would you really like to sink your teeth into, your smiling teeth, because you love this so much?
Sorry, Tim, is that for me or for Steve? We're both newcomers to this town.
Either one. I think both. Yep. We all are walking or driving or pedaling through town, and pie in the sky. What we'd like to do.
I'll give a shot at it, and then Steve, if you want, you take a bite at it. And I think the caveat here is – I think as newcomers to the town who already, I think I could speak for Steve, deeply love this place and feel a real strong sense of connection to the people and the place, we're still learning, you know? And so for me to think, here's my dream for the city, that's actually not my role. And I'm not trying to dodge your question. My role is to facilitate a collective conversation about what that future looks like. However, I will answer your question and I will say, one of the things that seems to, it's kind of the unsexy stuff. I'd love to see fantastic shiny infrastructure, the ability to walk or bike anywhere to anywhere safely. I mean, that's the kind of stuff that gets me excited. And to some extent, we have a pretty good set of that here in Port Townsend. But, you know, the deferred maintenance and the challenges we have with the current funding environment, it's hard to maintain the great level of service that we have. And so I think my biggest interest is making sure that we're in it for the long run, and that at 30 years from now, we could look back and say that things didn't get worse, they got better. And they might not be totally shiny and different than they are now, but they will definitely not get worse. And I think whether it's water quality, our sewer system, our infrastructure on our streets, those are the things that need continued investment. And I think that's my dream, to make sure we do that well.
Well, we'll have to end it there.
Steve will
come back because after he has more fun redoing streets and infrastructure, we'd love to have you back, Steve. Thank you so much for being here with us today. And thank you, John, and everybody that participated. This is KPTZ in Port Townsend. Stay tuned for Everybody Can.